Thanksgiving. We are thankful that we are here today and have the opportunity that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are grateful for all that are here, both those who are visiting with us and those who are members of this congregation. And we understand how precious that opportunity is. We have had a difficult couple of years, several years in our nation. In fact, the world in general, primarily because of the COVID pandemic, also because of the continually and increasingly contentious and troubling national discourse that seems to be present in our nation. There are many things that have led individuals to perhaps consider this life a life of trials rather than blessings. I was listening to a news program this morning when the point was made that for the past couple of years we seem to be surviving, and it seems like maybe we've forgotten a little bit how to live because we're too busy just surviving. And I think there may be some truth to that, and certainly ought not to be the case, of course, with our relationship that we sustain with God and our place as Christians in this world. And despite all of those difficulties, both personal that I might have as well as societal, I just want to note that I just spent 4 days with my family, and I enjoyed my grandchildren and my children so much, as well as my in-laws, and I am very, very thankful. Debbie and I had a wonderful time. It was a cause for us to be joyful, and we give thanks truly to God for that opportunity that we've had. I can say truly that I'm a blessed man, and I am thankful for all that I have, both physically and spiritually. Aaron had mentioned in his lesson that the topic was gratitude or ingratitude, and it might be that great minds think alike, but he seemed to have been motivated for the same reason that I was with regard to the holidays and this realization of the great blessings that are ours and that we enjoy. His message dealt with the importance of expressing that gratitude. It is not so much that individuals are not grateful for what they receive, but sometimes they are remiss in expressing that gratefulness. And he emphasized the importance of doing that in our relationships, one with another, but also in expressing such thanks and giving praise to God for the blessings we receive. I want to take maybe just a little bit the other side. I want to talk about how the expression of thanks, which is why I titled my lesson Thanksgiving, Giving of Thanks, the actual expression of it, is something that can alter our perceptions and can change us positively. And I want to give you a few examples of how that might happen. I said that I'm a blessed man. I'm thankful for all that I have, both physically and spiritually. I think about what happened to me just several years ago when I contracted this disease of chronic leukemia. And I have received so many expressions of prayers and thoughts over the past several years, and of course I am thankful for that. But sometimes when individuals have cancer, whatever cancer it may be, and mine seems to be a fairly mild form in comparison to what others have, but they think that, you know, you've been given a difficult lot in life, something bad has happened to you, and it certainly is. But when I think of this, what I think of is what happened to my father, because he had chronic leukemia as well. It may be that there's some genetic disposition. I hope that that's not the case, but he got it and I got it. And he died 10 years ago in October of 2011, so it's been a little over 10 years. And I don't remember exactly how long he had the leukemia, but I know that there were only limited things they could do at that particular time. He got chemotherapy, and then when the chemotherapy was no longer effective and the numbers began to creep up, and again, about all that they had left to try was to take a stem cell, a transplant, the white blood cells and the immune system of another person, and put them in my dad in hopes that that would take over. In order to make that happen, they had to have some more chemotherapy that basically ruined his health. Had to basically get rid of all of his white blood cells so they wouldn't fight against this infusion of somebody else's, and that he would have a new immune system. And it just didn't work for him. It really was that the treatment is what killed him, because the treatment cost him his health. And And it was necessary, and we thought it might work, but it simply didn't. Well, in that 10 years that have passed, they've come up with a number of different therapeutics that are much more effective and much easier on the body. So what my dad didn't have access to, I do, and it's been working just wonderfully. The last time I went to my oncologist just this past month, he actually said that there is a new treatment that is out there that basically works like the stem cell transplant, but instead of having to destroy your system, they take the immune cells or the white blood cells that work as a part of the immune system out of your own body, your own cells, and they modify those and put them back in. And so it works much better, it's much easier on you. And that's something that might happen to me. I may get a chance to utilize that therapy in the future if time progresses. So I just want to make that note. I know that's a personal anecdote that I'm sharing with you, but it's an interesting thing to point out that even with physical trials and difficulties, that there are many, many silver linings and many blessings that come as a part of those. And it has strengthened me greatly, the love that you've shown for me and the love that's been shown for me by my family and by my brethren in other places. And I bring it up from time to time on Facebook to kind of give an update. And it's just because I want people to know how I'm doing, that I'm doing good. And they just redouble their prayers for me in those situations and circumstances. I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, I should be thankful. I should be grateful. Even if health fails, even if there are very great difficulties in life, we need to be thankful and express to God our thanks for all that we have. James 1 and verse 17, we are told that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God truly is the giver of good and wonderful blessings, and we should give thanks to Him. Thank others. Give thanks to other individuals. Express your thanks to all men, as emphasized by Aaron in his lesson. But give thanks to God, and make sure that you let Him know just how much you appreciate all the physical and the spiritual blessings that you receive in your life. There's a quote that I want to share with you from Abraham Lincoln. This was, of course, during a time of great trial in his country. And on this occasion, in March of 1863, he determined to establish in the nation a day of fasting. And I want you to note the sentiments that he expressed. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue in our own lives. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." I think it's interesting that statement was made again about 160 years ago, almost 158 years ago that this statement was made. And it's interesting how that our commander-in-chief on this particular day was a man who believed in the providence of God and that all blessings flow from Him. And that's certainly not something that we see in our day and time. Thanksgiving, that is that day that we have established as a nation to give thanks for all that we receive, that takes place in the month of November. It doesn't mean the same thing today to most people as it did when it was first established. We need to recognize again how much we are, in fact, dependent upon God. You'll notice in the 100th Psalm that was read for our hearing, we won't take the time to read it all again, but in verse 4 of the text, the proclamation was this: "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation." We need to understand and recognize how important it is for us to be thankful for what we have received. I hope and pray that you are. And I want you to understand that there are great benefits that come as a result of expressing thanks, of being mindful. When you talk, and Aaron again made this point, that the lepers that went their way, they were thankful and expressed gratitude. I wonder, however, because they were thankful, but didn't express the gratitude, but they were thankful for what had been received. They had been healed. I wonder how long that Thanksgiving lasted. I'm not saying that the short nature of it, the short-term nature of it, was why they didn't return to God and to give praise to Him, or return to Jesus and give praise to God for the blessing that they had received. But I think sometimes it is possible for us to not be mindful of those blessings. And I want you to consider that for a few moments, that sometimes the reason why we might not be giving thanks is that we do appreciate what happens when it happens, but we very quickly move on to the next thing, either in desires that we have or just taking for granted the blessings that we have received. How many times have you, for example, gotten a new car, one that is at least new to you, and been very appreciative of all of the gadgets, all of the new things that are in there, how the ride feels so good, and how appreciative you are in the replacement of that piece of junk that you had before, and how much better it is that you are off now with your new ride, and then just in a few months, now all of a sudden the complaints begin again. And you forget just how appreciative if you were of that change in circumstance. That can happen in any aspect of our lives. I think sometimes that's why, as was mentioned, the relationship between husband and wife, there is gratitude, but there is also that basic idea of entitlement and taking for granted those kinds of things. They seem to be expected, and so it doesn't hold that same value that it once had, and perhaps because of that, we are not as thankful as we should be. When we think about what God has granted us, it should renew in us every day a sense of awe and great appreciation and joy for what God has blessed us with. That idea that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man to die for us and to become the Savior of all is something that should be new and precious every single day of our life, and something that causes us to praise God continuously, but we don't always do that. But what if we were to do that? If we were to express such thanksgiving often, if we were to make that a common practice in our life, how would that change and alter our perceptions? There are a few things I want you to note that I think giving thanks improves. First of all, it improves our perspective, the way that we look about ourselves. Because we want to note, first of all, the dependence that we have upon the Almighty God. That in fact, the majority of what we receive, as indicated from James, is that which comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. We need Him. The prophet understood this in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man's not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We are certainly in need of God's direction. We are in need of His sacrifice and the sending of His Son. We're in need of the express willingness of the Son in order for us to have this hope for redemption, this reconciliation that is given to us. And because of that, our God is worthy of our praise. We made note in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, in that throne room scene where we see God and the Lamb at His right hand, that there is a song of praise that is offered up. You are worthy, O Lord. And they are worthy because they are the ones who created us. They're worthy because they are the ones who have redeemed us. And we understand and recognize that God in three persons is certainly worthy of our thanksgiving and praise every day. We depend upon Him. That's what Abraham Lincoln was saying. Look at all that we've received from God, and yet we have forgotten. We've become self-sufficient, at least in our view of life, thinking that we, because of our wisdom, because of our abilities, have received these things, not recognizing that such bounties come from God. Instead, we are to, as the psalmist said in Psalm 50 and verse 14, we are to offer to God thanksgiving and pay our vows to the Most High, because we certainly are in need of Him. But I want you to understand as well that we're in need of each other. Paul recognized this, and I talk now specifically about our brethren. We need each other as a congregation of God's people. There's a reason why God designed us and designed His church to have a collective nature with regard to individual congregations, that we might edify and that we might encourage one another. And you see, the Apostle Paul, in all of his ministry, this is something that was present often. Just about every single letter that he wrote, he expressed thanks. You'll notice For example, in Philippians 1 and verse 3, where he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I would ask that you consider this with regard to the thanksgiving that you offer to God. Is it a part of your prayer in every prayer? Give thanks for the blessings that you receive from your brethren in Christ. To acknowledge how great they are as an encouragement to you and how important they are to admonish, to instruct, to edify you in every aspect of your spiritual lives. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, he said the same thing. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. Same phrase, remembering without ceasing what? Your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. That expression of thanksgiving that was given to God on behalf of the brethren, but also, as noted time and time again in his epistles, letting them know how much he appreciated them. And letting them know that he was praying and thanking God for them. There's much encouragement that comes as a result of it. But again, they are worthy of such praise. Excuse me. I wonder how long Paul's prayers were with all of the churches that he planted and all of the expressions of concern that he expressed in his letters and the prayers that he said, I offer to you or about you daily to the Lord God. Or without ceasing or continually. He must have been a man on his knees often and for long periods of time. And we need to have that same perspective. We need to recognize how much we are in need of one another as brethren. Not only is that true, but when we offer our thanksgiving, we not only change our perspective about ourselves and understand how dependent we are upon God and upon our fellow man and specifically upon our brethren, but we also get a different perspective with regard to the things that we receive in life. And I want to especially talk about those things of the physical nature, though it certainly has its application in spiritual things as well. But when we talk about our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. You understand that intrinsic within that phrase that's given in Jesus' prayer, as he taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, is the realization that that prayer is a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread indicates that the day before he said the same and the day after he will say the same. This particular day, dear Father, give us our daily bread. We need to recognize just how important it is to thank God for those things. First of all, understand that indeed we are not self-made. The things that we receive from God, whether they be our talents, our abilities, whether it be the circumstances of our lives, whether it be our families, whether it be our spiritual standing with him, we are not self-made. We are merely stewards of the blessings that God has granted to us. And something comes from that. If that is the case, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us, the Apostle Paul stating it, moreover, it is required in stewards to be found faithful. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that if we consider the things that we received coming from us alone, then we might have that feeling of entitlement. I can do with what I have as I desire, as I wish. Now, there is a sense in which that is partially true. You'll remember in the early church that you had with Ananias and Sapphira land that was in their possession, and they were told you could have kept it. You didn't have to sell it. But they sold it and they lied about it. But understand that the reason they had that land is because they were blessed with that land by God. And that land had to be used in a way that was right and appropriate. In other words, they needed to do it in a way that would serve and to glorify God. And that's true with every aspect of your life. There are many things that we as Christians cannot do with our possessions, that we cannot do with our money. There are ways that we cannot act. We cannot act with duplicity We cannot be deceitful. We cannot act in ways that are inappropriate, ways that are perhaps squandering the blessings that God has granted us with, ways that would produce or promote strife rather than righteousness as we seek to live for Him. There are many limitations because we are stewards of what God has given us, whether spiritually or physically, and as a result of that, we must be faithful in accomplishing what God intends for us to do with that stewardship. One of the primary points that is made with regard to this is the first day of the week contribution. I just wanted to make a note with regard to that. We've been having some discussions with regard to the collection in the men's meetings that we've been having. And one of the things to keep in mind with regard to that, and we state it time and time again, we're not seeking to solicit from our visitors any money when we give of our means on the first day of the week. But understand, it is a command to God, given by God for us to give back a portion of what we have received. And there are requirements. We're to do it upon the first day of the week. We are to do it cheerfully. We are to do it with liberality. Those are things that God expects of us because what we have came from Him. And this is a sacrifice that we offer. It is a way of offering a portion of ourselves to God sacrificially so that we can show ourselves that we are putting, or show Him that we are putting Him first in our lives. And somebody said, well, it's only money. Well, it is only money, but it does make it possible for us as a congregation to preach the gospel, to support the work of ministry, to edify one another and do the things that are necessary. These are not minor things. This is the way of the world. The Lord understood that, which is why the request is made. But we do not consider it merely these financial things. No, we are talking about stewardship and acting as God would have us to act as stewards of what He has given us. Also note that such blessings bring responsibility. Stewardship brings the idea of responsibility. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, and as each one has received a gift. And these gifts differ in different ways, but he says, use these gifts, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And as we contemplate the gifts that they received in the first century, the spiritual gifts, what were those spiritual gifts to be used for? You remember that the disciples in Corinth were utilizing them to exalt themselves above others. They sought the best gifts, and they wanted to be able to speak in tongues, and so there was clamor in the congregation because individuals were rising, and they were talking, they were bringing attention to themselves. The Apostle Paul said, that's not what tongues are for. He said, I would rather not speak a word at all. Or I would rather speak one word that can be understood than 10,000 words that could not be understood. It is for the purpose of edification. And again, you have responsibility. You receive something, use it to minister to the people of God as stewards of the manifold blessings. The third point with regard to our things is since we recognize they are given by God, we are stewards of them, we should be content with what we have. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Himself indicated that others were not so content, but He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the needful things will be added to you. And Philippians chapter 4, this time in verses 10 and 12, the Apostle Paul told the church in Philippi, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. Now notice his attitude toward the physical offerings that were coming from his brethren. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Brethren, if we could learn that, all of the greed that is present in the world today, all of the pursuit of material things, all the spoiling of the children, all of commercials and the efforts to get people to buy, all of those things would have no effect upon us if we could simply learn to be content in whatever state we are in. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He had suffered a great deal. He had times to where he had a great deal. But he said, everywhere in all things, I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. That's a perspective that we need to have as well. And then thirdly, I want to note that thanksgiving changes our perspective about our God. And that is, we become more and more aware of the fact that He is the one from whom those things come. We quoted that passage from James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. That's where you get it from. Everything that you receive. The physical blessings of life, the good things that happen, as well as the spiritual blessings. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. They come from Him, and we understand and recognize that's the case. God is the giver. So when we think about God, we think about that, and that is what leads us to desire to express it. God, look at what I've obtained. I think about the Apostle Paul and his attitude in Romans chapter 1. He expressed this time and time again, but he talked about all that he had received. He talked about the power of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves individuals, both the Jew and the Greek, the wise and the unwise. He said, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach that gospel. He was animated by the realization of the debt that he owed. The debt that he owed to men because of the debt that he owed to God. Because of what God has given me as a steward of these things he's given me, I am motivated to live my life for him. And if I'm living my life for Him, I am certainly going to be expressing my thanksgiving for what He has given me. And isn't it a wonderful thing to have God as the giver of all good and wonderful blessings? And we talk about men. And Jesus referred to this with regard to fathers who are being evil that give good things to their children. A child is hungry. He doesn't give him a rock or a stone. He is going to give him bread. And if we being evil are that way, and that concept of evil, I think it ties in not only with regard to the fact that sometimes we give our children things that they should not have. Sometimes we give them things that they don't need. Things that actually, just because we want them to have it, might actually be counterproductive. Maybe even destructive to their character or their person. Or it may be simply ignorance that we don't realize just how counterproductive it is. You know, what is the primary gift that teenagers get? I would think it has been, at least in past years, but when we talk about Christmas, the primary thing that most kids get, or have gotten at least, in Christmas, and they might get one every single year, it's a telephone. Yeah, it's a smartphone is what it is. And how destructive that smartphone has been to our culture, to our nation, to the welfare of our children. And parents give those things to their children. Why? Because they want them to have it. Because other kids have it. Because maybe it'll help them be a bit more safe. Although there are many dangers that come around with it. And primarily it's simply because they want to please their child. Now we do that from time to time. When we consider the fact that God gives gifts that are always right and always proper, always good, never making a mistake. Boy, that's a pleasant thing to know. And God gives us not what we want, but what we need. And we can trust that that's the case. I don't always trust what I give to others. I think that I'm doing right. I try to do right, but maybe I don't. But there's no trust issues with God. We know that He's going to give us what we need rather than what we want. And because of that, I think that's something that causes our anxiety to decrease entirely. If I know that, if I trust in that, if I'm always thinking about what God grants to me and giving thanks for those things, I'm less anxious because I know He's in charge. And I know that as I pray to God that I may ask for the wrong thing or for the wrong reason, but I know that if I have a sincere heart and I'm striving to do what is right, that God is going to bless me in what way is best for me. Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's a promise that we receive, and thanksgiving helps us in our perspective about God, who is the giver of all that is great and wonderful. Now, I just want to make a very quick point, and then the lesson will be yours. When we talk about it, the fact that these three perspectives are altered and changed. What if we have that proper perspective that comes with Thanksgiving? How is it going to help us? Well, one of the things to note, that if we have that proper perspective about ourselves, When we acknowledge the fact that really what we have is not because of ourselves, our own wisdom, our own abilities, our own positioning, but rather because God has granted us those blessings, well, that humbles us. It's not, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished with my two hands, look at how great I am, but rather it is how great God is, who fearfully and wonderfully made me. And I will be humbled as I acknowledge that God is the giver of those blessings. A proper perspective about the things themselves will keep us from being greedy. We will recognize that when we receive things, especially, that we're to be stewards, that with those blessings come responsibilities. And it's not about getting. And it's not about desiring and getting more and wanting more and more and more and never being satisfied with what we have. It's instead using what we have for the purposes of God. If we think about money that we've made, we think about, look at all the neat toys that I can buy because of the money that I have made, instead of recognizing that I need to give back first to the Lord so that I, through my sacrifice, can be a part of God's kingdom and helping to bring others to Christ, to express benevolence to those who are less blessed than I, to edify my brethren. If we recognize that, we're not going to be about getting more for the purpose of getting more, but rather simply rejoicing in what we have because it can be used for the glory of God. And then thirdly, a proper perspective about God, as indicated, will lead us to now trust. Now, sometimes we get worried. We are anxious about our lives. We're anxious about COVID. We're anxious about where the money's going to come from. We're anxious about inflation and how expensive gas is getting. Dick was talking about going into the store just recently to get a quart of oil. It's been a while since he's gone into O'Reilly's Auto Parts to get a quart of oil, and oil's a lot more expensive than it was just a few months ago. Everything is going up. We're anxious about those things. We worry about them. But if we're always giving thanks to God, always mindful that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things will be added to us, then we'll no longer worry about them. Be anxious for nothing. Know that God is in control. And if we're mindful of God's control, that indicates that we're giving Him thanks for what we have received from His hand. And so I think that it is good for us to be thinking about what we owe to God, giving thanks to God about what we owe to God, because it changes our perspective. It makes us humble. It makes us content. And it makes us less anxious as the days go on. As we draw our lesson to a close, I just want to make note of a particular thing that I came across concerning Thanksgiving. Charles Dickens, this has been around for a while. But it has to do with the Day of Thanksgiving that was established as that National Day of Thanksgiving in November. He suggested that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364 year days of Thanksgiving and use the one day that is set aside for the purpose of complaining and griping. Maybe that would be the way we would look at it. And by the way, as Christians, if we're doing our job, it's exactly what's happening. What significance does Thanksgiving have to you? That's a day that we have set aside to give thanks for what we've received. And again, it's changed in our culture. Now it's giving thanks to one another, what you've given to me and what I've been able to give to you and the relationships that we sustain. And often this giving of thanks, as you go around the table and say, what are you thankful for this year? God's not even in the picture. In the case of many, though you understand and recognize that when that was established, the purpose was for us to give thanksgiving to the God above for the blessings that we receive as a nation and we do individually. That was the reason for the season when it was first established nationally. But is Thanksgiving an overly special thing in your life? I'm not talking about the fact that you enjoy getting together with family. I'm not talking about how much you like turkey and dressing, or the cranberry sauce, or the pumpkin pie. That's not what I'm talking about, because we all like that. At least most of us do. And we all enjoy getting together. We like the football, some of us, and we like to sleep after we've eaten that turkey. So that's neat. But is that the one day that's special? The one day where we say we're setting this aside to give thanks to God? It certainly shouldn't be. For the Christian, I think it should be 365 days. As we acknowledge that life can be hard, we should not murmur and we should not complain. As we consider our lots in life, we understand and recognize that whether it be chastisement, trials, tribulations, or just the by chance misfortune that befalls us, that ultimately, because we are His and He is ours, that we will have a home in heaven after this life is over, and we have absolutely no reason to be anything other than thankful. And so I leave you with just a couple of passages of Scripture. The first one is in Psalm 95 and verse 2. And I want you to consider this and make this a part of your life each and every day. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Or as Paul said in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. May we all always be thankful to God. I think I would be remiss if I did not spend just a moment as we draw our lesson to a close to express my appreciation to you, brethren, to each and every one of you. I love you dearly. I am so thankful for the support that you've shown me for over 30 years. Some of you hadn't been around that long. In fact, only a few have. Support that you've shown me over the years, the physical support that you've given to me, the ability that I have today to live from the gospel, as I proclaim the gospel message and as I share with you what I have studied and learned, that means so much to me. You have supported the truth, and I am thankful for that. You have become my friends as well as my brethren, and I thank you so much for that. And a day does not go by when I do not pray for you and express to God how thankful I am for you. I am blessed. Yes, I have an illness, but I don't feel bad. I am the healthiest sick person you will ever see. And my doctor tells me that that may go on for a while. To live is for Christ, to die is gain. And we all understand and recognize that. But I have been so blessed by the physical family that I have. I've been so blessed by the fact that I have been with you for this period of time. And I'm so blessed by the relationship we sustain. And I am thankful to you for those things. I rejoice in it. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I thank my God in heaven that I have had the blessings of being with you for this period of time. As we offer an invitation, we call upon each and every one who are in the audience to have that same desire to express the thanks to God and to one another for the blessings that we receive. Be always diligent to offer up thanksgiving. It will change your life. It will benefit you day by day as you seek to live for Him. It will help you to be mindful of who He is. The Father from above, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, that grants you every good and every perfect gift. The gift of salvation is afforded you. If you are not a child of God today, if you'll turn away from your sin and in faith accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior by being baptized to have your sins washed away, you can rise to walk in newness of life with the gift of salvation and the hope of heaven. We hope that you will take advantage of that. We will rejoice with you as your friend and as your brethren. And if you have that need or any other need this evening, this morning, as we draw our lesson to a close, we offer the invitation to you. We ask that you consider it carefully. And if you want to come forward, do so now while together we stand and while we sing.